to Griff. Hey, Griff.
Good morning, this is Aaron.
Hey, Aaron, good morning. All right, in the room we've got Fenton Khan.
Jeremy Britton.
Scott Fielding.
Pretty slim meeting. Is anybody else on the phone aside from Dave Griffith and Aaron?
I know Christy will be joining you shortly.
Yeah, I remember she said she was going to join. I'll give people another minute or so. Yeah, here comes Christy. Because I think some of the agency folks, OEFW and BPM, might be calling in too.
Hi, this is Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. Good morning. We'll give folks another minute to get called in, and then we'll go around the room and introduce ourselves.
Is there going to be a WebEx component?
No, we don't have anything to present today.
Okay, thank you.
Today is just some quick updates. Are you looking to join the Willamette Fitwick meeting? What are you looking for?
Kelly's on the phone, I think. Are you on the phone, Kelly?
Kelly Reed.
That's Kelly Reed.
Sorry.
All right, let's get started. And just for folks on the phone, this is the Willamette Fitwick meeting, in case people are wondering. In the room, we've got Fenton Khan.
Christy Fortuny.
Jeremy Britton.
Scott Fielding.
That's it in the room here at the Corps of Engineers on the phone. So far, I have David Griffith, Aaron Kovalchuk, Kelly Reese, and anybody else joined us?
Marie Phillips.
Hi, Marie.
Hi, Ida Royer.
Hi, Ida.
Todd Pierce.
Hi, Todd. Anybody else on the phone? Got BPA. We're going to call in and NIMS, but. All right, well, in the essence of time, let's get started because it's already about 3 minutes after 11. So today's meeting is really a check-in, well, to finalize the meeting minutes from our June meeting, and I haven't received comments from anyone. So should I be expecting comments, or can we go ahead and finalize the meeting minutes? And Kelly, you're the only external agency representative on the phone right now.
That's a lot of pressure, man.
Well, does ODFW have any comments on the meeting minutes? And I'll reach out to NIMS if they don't join us later on BPA. But I'd like to try to finalize the meeting minutes, you know, by tomorrow if possible, because I'm going on leave on the 4th for a couple of weeks.
I'm sorry, Fenton, I was off last week.
Okay.
These, but I can't remember. There wasn't anything glaring. I mean, we might want to clarify that the steelhead that was potentially returning may never have gone into the ocean. Oh, yeah, so that's... I think it's fine.
Okay. Who just joined us?
This is Elise, ODFW.
Hi, Elise.
Hey there.
So Kelly, you're thinking that ODFW might be fine with the meeting minutes, or do you want another day or two to check with your folks and verify? Because I still have to hear back from NIMS.
Yeah, let's have another day or two.
Okay. I'll send a reminder out. Like I said, I haven't heard from NIMS or BPA as yet, or U.S. Fish and Wildlife for that matter. So I'll send a reminder out today. Maybe I'll give folks to the end of the week or so.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Well, that's it for the meeting minutes. And today's meeting, the agenda is really to give folks an update on the PDTs. We don't have any pressing item to discuss for any of the PDTs. And so today's meeting was just to check in and update folks on where we are. Before I get started, though, is do anyone have anything else to add to the agenda or would like to discuss?
Sorry, this is Lisa. I just want to double check. So we're not having a WebEx meeting, is that right?
No, we're not. It's just okay. We don't have anything to present, and today is just a check-in. I apologize if I didn't make that clear in my agenda in the meeting minutes or the notes. But no WebEx today. We don't have anything to show on the screen.
Okay, thanks.
Yep. So I'll give an update. So we'll start with the updates, the second bullet on the agenda. And Natalie is out of the office today, Natalie Richards. So I'll give an update for Fall Creek. And Todd, if you know of anything else after I give my brief update for Natalie, you can chime in. But what Natalie said is the facilities in operation, they identified some fixes that she discussed at our June Fitterwig, and they're working on modifying the contract for the contractor to go in and do those fixes. And specifically for fish, it was the finger weir at the pre-sort pool. They had to make some adjustments, and they're hoping to get that contract in place and have the adjustments done later on this summer. There are some other fixes to the facility, but they were not fish-related, so we're not going to get into details with that. Todd, are you familiar with anything else at the Fall Creek Fish Facility or anything else that might be going on that you'd like to update the PDT in Natalie's absence?
I always kind of hear issues with that braille system, the Crowder braille system. But I think they've troubleshooted that and they got that working. I think currently right now that the main issue is, other than low fish counts, is, we've dropped to a different tier for fish horns, so it's pretty cool water coming through that facility now.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah, I remember that came up in the June Fitterwig, something about the flows and the temperature, but I think that's just the way the facility is operated.
Well, and I think the reservoir is a little lower this year than, I guess, I'm assuming it's below the rule curve, because normally I think we can maintain warmer temperatures through the upper fish horn throughout this time. But we kind of have this 20-foot head restriction on those fish horns, so we drop down to the 765-foot elevation fish horn, and it's just in the water column where there's water.
Okay. So the temperature in the facility is a lot cooler than we really want it to be then?
I mean, ideally, but that's the limitation of only having three tiers of fish horns there.
Right. Okay. Anything else for Fall Creek?
Nope.
All right, we're going to move on to the Foster update. And I added the downstream fish passage, and I also added the AFF ladder, because we are going forward. We're starting a PDT to investigate the adult fish facility ladder and increasing the efficiency. As we're all aware, fish aren't readily using the ladder, especially in the summertime from about May on. And we knew this the last several years. We did some Harmony studies to try to identify the problem, and it looks like it's a water temperature, speaking of Fall Creek on the cool water. It looks like we're having the same issue at Foster. Who just joined us?
Hi, Benton. This is Erica.
Oh, hi, Erica. So it looks like it's the temperature in the summertime when the Foster Reservoir is full. USGS did some modeling for us, and it looks like most of the cool water from Green Peter is actually what's feeding the Foster adult fish facility, not the surface water. So there's a stratification on the upper, I believe, 10 feet or so. 15 feet of water is from the South Sanium, which is warm, but below that is all the cold water from Green Peter. So the temperature in the ladder, it was measured somewhere in the 48, 49 degrees. And what the fish wants is 52, 53 degrees. So we believe right now, at least the research is showing that it might be a temperature issue. And internally at the core, we're starting a PDT to investigate the ladder on what we might do to fix it. So I added that bullet here. So the update for that part of it is we haven't started the PDTS yet, but we might later on this summer, and then we'll continue to update Fitterwig on where we are. And then as far as downstream fish passage goes, we finished the spring evaluation of the new foster fish weir in June, on June 15th, and we closed the weir. We don't normally operate in the summer. Our Harmony studies show that fish aren't really passing in the summer. So we ended weir operations on June 15th, and we'll start back up again in the fall around October 1st. So that's the update I have for foster downstream passage and the adult fish facility ladder. Any questions, thoughts, comments?
Fenton, this is Elise. Would it be possible to get the passage data related to those, to the studies that were done, particularly the number of fish that passed the weir for each study that was done?
Yes, they're all in all those reports that we send out. Are you talking about the old weir or the new weir?
The new weir.
You will eventually. We just finished the spring study now, so we don't have the results yet. But yes, when the researchers send us the draft report, you'll get them. You'll get the chance to review it, and you'll have it.
Right. I was hoping to get the data before the draft report came out, just in terms of the number of fish that were used and the number of fish that passed the facility. That's really just the information I would like.
And when you say the facility, you mean the weir?
I mean
alone
the weir,
or the FOSS, the whole project?
No, I just mean the weir. How many fish are passing the weir?
Okay.
For the individual studies that were done.
Okay. Well, we only had one study with the tagged fish. The other study, the balloon tag study, those were the direct intrin survival, and we recaptured all those fish.
Okay.
I'll certainly share the preliminary data when I have it. But as far if you're thinking, I know we did two different types of studies. But one is the radio telemetry study where we're tracking the fish through all the different routes at the dam, turbine, spillway, and the weir itself. Those results we probably won't get for another couple of months because they have to be worked up. And then recently we did the direct injury, the balloon tag study, where we release fish directly over the weir and recapture them at the bottom of the tail rays in the weir to evaluate for injuries and survival. And we just wrapped that up in the middle of June. And so we should get results, preliminary results, later on this summer, and I can share those too.
Okay, so it's going to be a little while yet before you have the final radio tag passage numbers, radio tag studies.
Yes. It might be sometime. We might get preliminary results mid-summer or so, but that would be really preliminary, more for discussion than putting it on the record.
Okay. Okay.
Is this a curious question, or are you looking for something specific that I can help you answer?
I'm really interested in the numbers of fish from the radio tag study that are passing the weir. I'm happy to wait until the study is completed. But I really would like the number of fish because I got a report of an angler catching a summer trout, summer steelhead in Foster. And so it's helpful to me to know how many fish ultimately passed the weir and how many ultimately remained in the reservoir, and I would prefer to know that before the report comes out.
Yeah, well, I would like to know that, too. You did send me an email about the angler calling in a tag. Was it in the reservoir or was it in the downstream in the tail race somewhere downriver?
No.
Do you remember?
It was at the head of the reservoir.
Okay, is it the same one that they reported to Brett? Because Brett gave me a tag that someone turned into him that was caught at the reservoir, in the reservoir.
I don't know if it was the same. We could compare the tag numbers. I didn't hear from Brett, so I don't know what tag number he has.
Did they give you the tag number?
I think they did.
Yeah, you had sent me an email a few weeks ago. I was actually down with Foster, and you said that the angler caught a fish, and it had the white plastic in the belly, and you're wondering to know if it was a radio tag and if it was one of my fish. And I'd responded saying, yeah, it sounds like a radio tag, and can you tell me if it was an adult fish or a juvenile, and if it was in the tail race or the reservoir? But I didn't hear back from you, because if we should have adults returning also from our 2014-2015 studies. But you're saying this one was caught in the reservoir.
No, this is definitely in the reservoir. And
okay.
You did ask me, sorry, I'm still trying to find that, those emails. Anyway, I'm not coming up with them. But anyway, I don't know, and whether or not it's the same tag. If you have an email from Brett, or I can contact Brett.
No, he gave me the tag. I was at Foster, and he brought it over to me, and he said, "Hey, an angler turned this in to me the other day, and said he caught this fish in the reservoir, and the angler saved the tag and took it to Brett, and Brett gave me the tag." So I have that one. What I'm curious to know if your fish is a second fish or if it's the same fish we're talking about.
Yeah, and I don't know the answer to that, and I can try
okay.
to check with Brett. And the thing that you had asked me, the question you asked me was whether or not there was a wire antenna coming out of the tag, and I called back the angler and he said there was. So that was the one thing I had to get back to you on, was the yeah.
Right, well, I was wondering if it was an adult fish in the tail race or the reservoir.
Right, and there's the size. Yeah, I'll have to look back at the exchange with the angler to see what the size was.
Well, it's all right. If he caught in a reservoir, it was most likely one of our releases this year. It may be the same one as the one that he turned into Brett, unless he brought a tag to you.
Brett did not bring the tag to me.
Did the angler bring a tag to you, or did they call it in?
They just called it in. They did not bring it to me.
Maybe it's the same one then.
Yeah, well, I'll check with Brett, and
okay.
I don't need to sidetrack the entire discussion. I was just hoping to get some data.
Yeah, and then just so you know, I see where you're going with this, to know if any of these fish remain in the reservoir, but we had other routes of passage, too, that these fish could have passed the dam, not just the fish weir. The turbines were operated and the spillway was operated because we had that block treatment study, so they could have passed it anywhere, but... we, too, are curious to know how many fish stayed in the reservoir, and I'm hoping to get that preliminary data later on this summer, and I'll share it.
That'd be great. Thanks, Fenton.
Yeah, and if you hear of any other tags, please do let me know, because we'd like to know, and if they bring the tags to you, great, I can get them from you, or if they give you the number, or at least let us know if they caught a fish and where, if it's in the reservoir or tail race, that'd be good to know, too.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Pull that together. Yep, sure thing.
Yep. Any other questions or thoughts for Foster? Okay, moving on to Detroit. And Christy is here for the update.
Sure. So for the Detroit selective withdrawal structure, we're working towards the 90% DDR. I think previously we told you we'd have that out for review to the Bitterroot group by August. That's going to be pushed back until sometime in the fall, probably later fall. We're working through constructability issues right now. So as you know, we're going through the EIS process, and we're learning a lot about the downstream water supply impact. So we're trying to figure out what that means for us and what's even feasible as far as construction. So that's just going to take a while longer for us to get through. And then on the floating screen structure, it's out for 60% review right now. You guys have that DDR. One thing that, so I heard Griff on the phone, but he wanted me to point out that we're currently looking at for the fish handling facility. In the 60% DDR, it shows the fish going to a tank before they go to the pods. And now we're looking at directly loading the fish to the pods to minimize the handling of the fish.
Thanks, Christy. This is Griff. It's in response to comments we received on Cougar. The fish disposition at Detroit isn't changing. However, we just want to make sure everyone understands that the direct-to-hopper is consistent with that fish disposition, and that's what we're moving forward with. Over.
Yes, and in the 60% DDR, I can't remember what we have for the pod sizes, but We've made the decision to have Cougar pods and Detroit pods be the same. So we're giving the Detroit AE the Cougar pod information so they can be interchangeable for the different facilities. So it'd be the 750 gallon, I think, that you guys are using.
Yep.
Anyway, so that's...
Okay. Christy, maybe you or Griff could answer, or maybe this is for later on, but are you guys, have you guys started looking at the AV? And are they similar to the Cougar AV or something different?
We think that AV right now is the only feasible way to for access for fish and people right now, and we would be using exactly the same AV.
The same design, okay.
So the Cougar team has a couple different people doing market research on it, and that's moving forward. And then there's also going to be an analysis done by the Naval Architect AE for Cougar, for the AVs that are identified as potential products that we could use. Jeremy's there, I forgot. Jeremy, is that right? Did I get that right?
Yeah, that's right. Thanks, Dave.
Okay.
One thing we need to look at, we're meeting later today to talk about debris. Does the AV also move debris, or do we move it a different way?
And that's something Cougar is also looking at, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah, we're... go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say we are currently looking at having a barge or barges that can pull into slips on the FSS to get debris off the FSS.
Okay.
So I think a lot of our design is going to follow Cougar.
Yeah.
So we'll probably do whatever you guys do.
Good deal.
Better be awesome, then.
It better be awesome.
Well, thanks for the update, Christy. Any questions from folks on the phone on the Detroit update? Well, just to remind folks, you do have the 60% DDR out for review, and it's been a couple of weeks now. Yeah, I don't remember the date when comments are due, but it's probably another couple of weeks. So please do send us your comments and use that Excel spreadsheet that I sent for comments. We discussed it at our last FIDWIG meeting, and I did sent two spreadsheets, an example one that NIMS used so that you could see how NIMS provided comments in the past, and then a blank one for you to use. If you have comments done and you'd like to send them to us sooner, that would be great, because the PDT could start working on them instead of waiting for the very end. So again, friendly reminder, and I'll send an email to remind folks that getting the comments to us sooner than later is important so the PDT could continue to move forward. All right, we'll move on to the Cougar downstream passage updates, and then Scott will discuss fish release location. So who wants to give the update, Jeremy or Erica?
Or Scott? Oh, yeah, we don't have much of an update now on Cougar other than we want to talk about the release sites, and our schedule has finishing the 90% DDR at the end of September, and then starting the reviews, BPA and agency reviews after that in the fall. So that schedule is the same.
Okay.
I don't think we have anything else really. Any other updates other than the release topic?
Nope. All right. So Scott will talk about fish release locations for Cougar.
So back in June, the PDT proposed a release location at the adult facility below Cougar, and I told the group that I would come up with some flows below Cougar. So currently I have discharges through the penstock and the RO since the temperature control tower went in. But the one thing that we're lacking here in the core is actual feet per second at the location that we are proposing for the release. So Todd and I in a couple weeks are going to go down and actually measure the flow down there. And as soon as we do that, I will provide you with a write-up of what that is. Within the vicinity of the adult facility, so stay tuned and I will get you that as soon as I can. The one thing that we do have a problem with is that below Cougar, we've dropped flows to 150 CFS for a restoration project with the Forest Service, so it's not really going to be representative of biop flows that we have, but I don't know if the group would consider waiting until those flows go back up, or if we just get this and try to extrapolate out from, you know, the 150 CFS that's currently going on to what we think it would look like at 300 CFS.
Is there a reliable, this is Kelly, is there a reliable way to extrapolate that, or, I mean?
I don't know. I'll have to talk to some hydraulic engineers within the building.
When, do you know when the special operations will be over for the Forest Service or whoever is doing that restoration work?
Todd, do you know that answer?
I'm trying to look at a few things. So actually right now we're doing right about 300 CFS outflow. I'm trying to look on the schedule to see if they say when they're going to, if and when they're going to actually drop that flow. So a lot of things have kind of changed over the last week, Scott. So
yeah.
Apologize for it being a little confusing. But yeah, currently we're doing like 291 out of Cougar.
So I think Todd and I will still propose to go down there on June 16th or 17th and measure flows in the tail rays. And if it drastically changes between then, maybe we'll try to see if the schedule will allow it for, you know, a week or two after that.
So Scott, you'll just to circle back then, you'll let the team know, at least the key representative from the agencies when you guys are going out?
Yeah, when we go out, I'll send ODF&W, NIMS, and Fish and Wildlife, and BPA. Anybody who wants to come out, we can coordinate, and you guys can show up down there while we're doing the measurements, and then we can talk about the location at the same time.
So Kelly, it would be good if Jeff could go. Certainly others too, but Jeff is really familiar with the area and could provide some input on release locations and such. So
yeah, I agree.
Scott,
and he's actually
I'll be on leave for the next couple of weeks, but Scott will coordinate with folks once they pick a date. And also, if the flows come down to 150 by the time you're ready to go out, you might want to rethink when you want to go out, or maybe wait until it comes back up, unless you have a really good way of extrapolating.
Well, and I need to ask that question to somebody that knows.
So stay tuned on that. It Scott will send an email and either plan a field trip with some folks and try to see if we can get Jeff Ziller to go, or they might postpone it and wait until the flows are back up to 300 CFS. Right?
Right, but not too long, because we do need to make a decision on this release site soon.
Okay, so quick update. I'm just reading our schedule. It actually looks like the Forest Service has requested an outflow of 300 CFS for the restoration project. So
perfect.
Everything that I'm reading right now actually doesn't suggest that we're going to drop below 300 as originally proposed.
So I will send out an email invite next Monday for either the 16th or the 17th to be down at Cougar to the region. And those that can come, awesome. And Todd, I'll work with you later this, or not this week, but early next week on your availability for those 2 days.
Okay.
And Kelly, could you check, make a note for yourself to check with Jeff in the meantime to see if he's available on one of those days, and let him know that an email will be coming from Scott about a field trip?
Sorry, one of what days?
The 16th or 17th of June.
Of July.
July.
Right. Okay, and then Todd, what was the date, the last date you had on that 300 CFS? Because I thought I saw some mail back and forth that they were looking at lower than that.
So I'm looking at today, the schedule that was sent out today for all the dams.
Okay.
And it says, there's a note that says it's been coordinated with NIMS and ODFW by Taylor and Walker.
Okay.
So I'm just kind of going off of that. That's today's data.
Excellent. Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions or comments or thoughts for the Cougar team? All right, we'll move on. And I have I added another bullet to our PDTs, and this is a high head bypass. So our high head bypass team is we've been chugging along all along collecting RMD data for the last 3 or 4 years, but now that that we're investigating the potential for pipe bypass at both Cougar and Detroit Dam. Our PDT is charging forward with developing some design
parameters,
right. I'm trying to remember the word we came up with. So we're working on the design parameters report, looking at the Harmony data and some other research that were done elsewhere to come up with this design parameter report. So starting today and going forward, our PDT meetings, we'll also be updating. We'll have this high-head bypass bullet to the agenda to update the Fittewig on where we are. And our plan right now is to have a 60% report with the design parameters and some other information on feasibility of pipe bypass, have that 60% report ready for the Fittewig review in sometime around October-ish or so, maybe November, but we'll keep you guys posted on our progress each month. Any questions or comments? So a key thing to note for the Fittewig team is that the Cougar and the Detroit teams are moving forward with their charge right now, which is Trappan Hall. And then our high-head bypass team is working on the pipe bypass design parameters and feasibility. And we're working closely with the two teams. As a matter of fact, some of the PDT members, the engineers, are the same on the high-head bypass team. So we're working closely with them to make sure what we're doing makes sense to them and what they're doing makes sense to us. And like I said, we'll have more updates at the next Fittewig meeting on where we are.
Thanks, Hudson. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, could you let Jeff know that, please?
For sure.
This is Jeremy. I would just add that I think I'm already starting to coordinate with the high-head bypass team on, you know, what kinds of things do they need to know, or what kind of things does the Cougar team need to know and when, so that we can make sure that we design the FSS so that such a thing in the future could be possible. We don't exclude anything. So
right.
We have something scheduled for
middle of August.
Been talking to Marie about, you know, what are the main things that we need to know in order and when. So kind of the locations and sizes and blockouts for these potential future pipes, and how much space do we need behind and around the FSS for the whatever the pipe looks like. It leaves the FSS and goes wherever it's going to go, so we can, because we have a tight space at Cougar, so we kind of need to know those things in order to figure out where our rock cuts are going to be and everything. So we are coordinating, and I'm glad that's happening.
I am too. We've made a lot of progress, especially with the input, so we appreciate the external agency input on getting this team moving forward. So we are, as Jeremy said, we are making progress. There's a lot of coordination internally between the teams. And as everything else with the pods and the AVs, the Detroit team is also going to learn what Cougar and Hi-Hat is doing so that maybe we can implement for Detroit down the road. So that's good news. We have a Cougar Hi-Hat meeting in the middle of August to talk about pipe locations and on the FSS and so on, and so we'll be able to update the Fittewig at our September meeting, where we'll have better information on pipe placement and such.
Thank you.
Any questions on high-head bypass or any other of these PDTs? We're moving right along. All right. Any other questions or thoughts before we wrap up? I don't have anything else for Fittewig. Our next meeting is August 7th, our regular meeting time.
Fenton, it's Griff. I just ask everyone to keep in mind the schedule here in the fall. There's going to be a lot of products coming out for folks to review, and keeping in mind that, you know, that you guys aren't dealing just with the core projects, but, you know, folks need to start thinking about those schedules. Oh, okay, sorry.
That's the next bullet on the agenda, is updates, reviews, I mean. So, yeah, what Griff says, and this is key, and I'll make sure that NIMS and BPA know as well, it'll be in the meeting minutes, but one thing, key note is, as Griff mentioned, is we are going to be slamming folks with a lot of reports starting this fall as early as September. We've got the Cougar 90%, which is going to be big, and that's later on in the fall sometime, Jeremy?
Yeah, probably October for BPA, right. November for the...
And then Detroit will have something about
both CDRs at about that same time.
And high head bypass EDR 60%. So what I'll do is maybe at our next Fitterwig, since the other agency reps are not here, Fish and Wildlife, BP, and NIMS are missing, is I'll have a specific item on the agenda to discuss the reviews and how we want to tackle it and see how the teams could coordinate staggering it. I don't know. This is just a suggestion, but I think it warrants some discussion because we have two Detroit DDRs, the big one for Cougar, and High Head Bypass. And on top of that, as Griff mentioned, folks at the agencies, we all have other work and other reports to review. And on top of that, we'll have a bunch of RM&E reports coming out, too, with research that a lot of the same folks review. So I will add a bullet to the August agenda for us to discuss how we want to handle the review of all these reports. Because it's not just those four reports. It'll be four reports from Fitterwig, but I already envision quite a few RM&E reports coming out for review. And also, folks have other jobs to do. So it's not fair to slam everybody with a bunch of design reports and say, get us comments in a couple of weeks, especially for a critical design like the Cougar or the Detroit team. So I'll make sure we add a bullet for discussing how we want to tackle that. So thanks for bringing that up, Griff.
Yeah, life's not going to be fair this fall, I think, is the case. So.
Maybe we should have a Fitterwig off-site for like a month where everybody just goes off to the beach somewhere, rent a beach house, and we sit and review reports. Just Fenton, who doesn't have a family and kids or anybody else to worry about. So, anything else to discuss? Thoughts, questions? So a couple of key take-homes, then, is Scott will, I'll be out on leave starting July 4th through the 23rd. Scott will send out an email coordinating the field visit to Cougar to look at release locations. Once he has a date nailed down, and it sounds like the flows will stay up, so we shouldn't have a problem with the flows. So it's just a matter of coordinating the date. So I'll leave that in Scott's hands to coordinate with the, you know, NIMS, ODFW, Fish and Wildlife, and BPA to see who is interested. And Kelly, again, I think it would be really great if Jeff could go out because he's really familiar with that area and could provide input.
Oh, yeah, I think it would be worth making sure he's available.
Yeah,
and that week is a little crazy. I think that's the Western Division of Fish and Wildlife agencies are meeting.
Okay.
The 17th. Yeah, so anyways, I'll let him know and he can respond directly to Scott.
Yes, thanks. And then the other reminder is the Detroit 60% review is out right now, our report is out for review right now, and we would appreciate comments. I know a lot of people have a lot of reports to read and it's summertime, but your input helps the team move forward, so we appreciate your time. All right, well, if nothing else, everybody have a happy 4th of July. Be safe, and I will talk to you guys when I get back from leave.
Thanks,
Ben. Thank you.
Yep. Bye.
Thank you.